Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Some stories stay with you and won't let go. SDPB's Keely Boltina covered organ donation last month. It was one of the most clicked on and shared pieces on our website all year long. But something about the story resonated with Boltina, the journalist, that stayed with her on a personal level. So she talked with her grandpa, Roger Boltina. You get to hear him at the end of this piece about how organ donation had changed his life and that of generations to come. Keely, thanks for stopping by today. You did a story not too long ago about organ donation and then wrote a blog post. And I was reading it online and was completely captured and drawn in by a conversation you had with your grandpa.
My grandpa's pretty cool.
So let's go back to the original story that you did and tell me a little bit about it and what caught your attention that made you sort of think when the story was over that there was more that you wanted to tell.
I was able to talk with a woman whose son donated his organs, or his family decided to donate his organs when he died, and anticipated that we were talking about all of those organs, and because there are many things that people can donate. So I thought that's where we were going with it. And when she explained that her son was an alcoholic, but was still able to donate, she talked about the fact that he was able to donate some tissue and his corneas. And she just had this, it was almost like a relief when she was talking about how there are two people in North Carolina who can see because her son died. And that got me to thinking a little bit, because I know about corneal transplants because I've always known about them because my grandpa's had four over his lifetime. One may have happened while I've been alive, but, you know, it started when he was 15, 16 years old. So it's something I've kind of taken for granted. So to watch her and the amount of pride that she had talking about the fact that these people can see because of her son made me think, okay, so when Grandpa starts telling the story about his corneal transplants in Iowa City, I should probably listen instead of just rolling my eyes, which I admit to him is what I do. I do.
Because yeah. So, you've heard the story before.
So many times.
So give us an idea of how old was he when he got his first transplant?
My Grandpa Roger Boltina was a teenager when he had his first corneal transplant. So around 13, 14, 15, they first figured out that there was something wrong with his eyes. And the doctor said, we don't really know how to fix it. So you're probably going to go blind by 20 or 30. Mm-hmm. See what you can see. And they just happened to have some interesting connections to people who were on the cusp of this corneal transplant eye, ear field, and reached out to them. And so instead of going blind by 20, my grandpa had his first corneal transplant when he was 15 or 16 years old. And that's where the story usually centers, yeah, is during that experience, because it's something that I would never want to go through when you listen to him explain it, because it's so sophisticated now when they do corneal transplants and they really make that part of the eye stick together. They used a few stitches with him. He says 7.5. And so then they kept this kid who's, you know, middle of his teenage years, held down by sandbags so he wouldn't move. They wouldn't let him eat stuff because it would move his face too much because they didn't want it to dislodge. I mean, those sorts of concepts are kind of terrifying, but also just incredible that that's what allowed him to see.
So you sat down with Grandpa and you said, tell me the story again. How awkward was that for you?
It was okay for me because I do that all the time. I think he thought I was a little bit crazy with my microphone. And you don't get as much context when the microphone comes out, I have learned, with Roger Boltina. He like kept things short and kind of to the point and thought things through. And I was like, these are not the winding, you know, explosive stories that we know with lots of color. He really kept things to, this is what I experienced. Which is great. It's important for people to know, but there are so many more aspects to the story. And I think he was really clear about explaining what happened and not necessarily how he felt while it happened, which doesn't really surprise me.
What did he leave out that you know from hearing growing up?
we've heard over the years about how, you know, he was stuck there. He couldn't move. They wouldn't let him move. And so the clicking of one of the nurse's high heels drove him crazy. And like the doctor like threw her out or made her change her shoes or something because he couldn't handle it anymore because the kid was just stuck there. We've also heard the story about the semi-trucks. It was back in the days where there weren't interstates. This was probably late 50s-ish. And so Roger and his dad happened upon a truck driver while they were getting gas on the way to Iowa City when they knew the cornea was there and they knew they had a short window to get there, happened to talk to this truck driver and he said, I'll get you there, get in the car. So they basically tailed this semi all the way and he used his radio to tell other trucks to get to the side of the road and stay out of his way because they were moving and they were getting that kid to the doctor, which I just think is fun and incredible and something that you're not going to replicate today. Yeah. That's not really how things work now.
There's a moment at the end where you say, well, and now you can see my beautiful face. Like a grandpa, you got a lifetime of sight, and one of it, you get to see me. And he is so loving and awkward at the same time. Like, yep. He doesn't quite know.
Yeah, I see well. I see well, or something like that is what he says. And you know, that's how it works. That's one of those sorts of relationships. He'll start talking to the people next to us at the restaurant and I'll be like, Grandpa, they have to be able to eat. Like they're here to eat, right? And he laughs and he's like, they're always telling me what to do, whether it's the grandmother or her, like somebody, they're always on me. So that's kind of a little moment that shows more stuff that is part of our relationship. But absolutely. And you know, we laugh about it and he doesn't really go there. But I did when I think about the fact that, I mean, he shouldn't have seen my dad and his brothers grow up. That was not his lot in life. He was not supposed to be able to see them grow up. And he was not supposed to be able to see me and the other seven kids that came after me with my siblings and my cousins. Let me count. 4, 5, 6. 6. And, you know, I have 3 little kids and there are 2 other cousins. And I mean, he wasn't supposed to see them. He wasn't supposed to be able to open the little fruit bar to hand to my 2-year-old. That was not how he was supposed to be able to live his life. And he has because of this. And I just think because it happened so long before I was born, I never thought about the fact that it was life-changing, because that's what happened to him.
Will you keep that story going for your own kids? Will they grow up hearing the story of Grandpa, do you think?
I mean, they're
until they're tired of hearing it.
I admit that I do not talk about, well, back when my grandpa went to Iowa City as often, but they have started to hear that. And I hope that, this sounds really cheesy, right? But I hope that the fact that I'm realizing this encourages me and pushes me to consider it more as a really important milestone, as something that taught a lot of lessons instead of just another story from somebody that I've heard over and over, because it's worth more than that. So I hope so, is I guess the answer to your question.
These are the stories that tell us who we are.
And you forget about them because you don't realize that that's what defines you, that these are critical moments. And yeah, they absolutely are.
We're going to let Grandpa Baltina tell us a little bit now. Keely, thanks so much.
Thank you.
When I was a young man on the farm, I jumped into the oats bin. And with that, I had a piece of oats stuck in my ear. And so my mother took me to the local doctor, and he said, I can get that piece of oats out of Roger's eye, of Roger's ears. But he said, I see something in looking at his eyes. There's a little, it's not clear. So he decided that I should go to a specialist. He lined up to go see an eye doctor. And then the eye doctor in Sioux Falls said, I don't know, there's something on those corneas, but we can't do anything for him.
At 13, you were told, can't really do anything for your eyes.
He said, see everything you can see before you get the age of 30, because more than likely you'll be blind. And he said, if we find a way or a cure or something to help you, we'll let you know. The donor was a young man that worked for electrical company out in Iowa, someplace, or Illinois, and he climbed out on the pole to work on the line, and he got electrocuted. That's how they got the first eye, and so on and so forth. And I got there, and he did the transplant with 7.5 stitches. He still called it 7.5 instead of 8 stitches to stitch that cornea in.
So they took this cornea and put it on your eye and only used 7.5 stitches.
Yep.
After 7.5 stitches for a cornea, you didn't just get to jump out of bed and head back home.
31 days in straps and sandbags for my head. And I didn't move for 31 days. I couldn't chew. They wouldn't let me chew. They wouldn't let me do anything. And in those days, they didn't have intravenous feeding. So I got a little hungry, but the shots kept me going. And they pumped water into me and so on and so forth. And I, you know.
You got hungry for a while, but then when I've heard you talk about this, you said you stopped being hungry.
Yep. About doctor said between 7 and 8 days, you stop being hungry, and so on and so forth. And they're feeding enough water into your system to keep you going, and so on and so forth. So,
but you eat just fine now. So at some point, yeah. How did you get that hunger back?
How did I get that hunger back? I think the doctor came in with food one day, and I said, I don't want any food. And he said, you've been off that long? Yep. And so he said to the assistant, you go across the street. There was a little store. And he said, you get a good old Coca-Cola and a hamburger and a cookie. Make sure you get a sugar cookie. And that's what I had. And all of a sudden, within about, I don't know, within about 45 minutes or so, I was instantly hungry and been going ever since.
Wasn't there beer involved at some point?
Oh, yeah. When I couldn't keep food down right away, because when I started eating quickly, then it all came up. And Dr. Braylor said, you got to get the young man a beer. And I said, what? And he said, you got to have a beer. So he sent the assistant across the street, because in the University of Iowa, you couldn't have alcohol consumption. And he got a beer, and he gave me a glass, tall glass, and he said, drink it down. And I drank it down, and I remember, I think it was between 10 and 12 or 13 minutes, I was instantly hungry. And so that was, beer is good for something. But it sure cured me from drinking beer. I couldn't handle it after that. And to now, it's just a simple operation. I say simple, but you got to be pretty precise.
Right, because you've had each eye done twice now.
Yep. And I'm very lucky. Because from being literally blind, 20/25 in one, and 20/27 or 28 right over in the other one. So
they use a few more than 7.5 stitches these days.
The last one, I don't know how many use. They use a bunch of them, and yes, they now put it in with stitches, and then it looks like a spider web with cross things and so on and so forth. So, it's pretty precise now.
And now you get to gaze into my pretty face.
Yeah, you bet. Yep. I can see very well. I can see very well.
That was SDPB's Keely Boltina talking with her grandpa, Roger Boltina. You can find Keely's original organ donation story and more from her conversation with Roger Boltina online, listen.sdpb.org.